Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, he's no longer a U.S. senator. He's now a former senator. He doesn't have to come back here and campaign for re-election. So why is he flip-flopping now? Somebody raised a really good question. I can't remember if it came in on the Montana Talks app. Maybe it was on one of the radio station Facebook pages. Maybe it was on the KBUL Billings Facebook. I can't remember where I saw this, but somebody asked a really good question. And I always like to give credit where credit's due, so I apologize that I can't tell you who asked this question. But they said, why is John Tester flip-flopping now? So he flew down to see all of his Hollywood bigwig buddies in Los Angeles last week, and he was on Bill Maher's show on HBO. And Bill Maher, you know, here's the thing. You and I may not agree on too many things with Bill Maher, but Bill Maher, at least he's a liberal with principles. And at least he's a liberal with a little bit of common sense enough to say, what in the world is all this garbage about pronouns? What do I care about these stinking pronouns? What are your pronouns? Stupid. And he has also been calling out the insanity of men and girls' locker rooms and men and women's sports and taking away sports opportunities for girls. And so Bill Maher has consistently pushed back against this insanity. John Tester, on the other hand, he voted for it. When there was an effort to protect women's sports, John Tester voted against protecting women's sports. Oh, but here he is. And by the way, our friend John Jackson first shared this with me via X over the weekend. Here's John Tester not only blaming Kamala Harris, blaming the woman for his own failure, but here he is now, he's speaking out, saying how stupid it is to have men and women sports. But if you actually listen to the audio, you can tell that he's not saying what you think he's saying. He's actually providing cover fire for the radical transgender agenda. But he wants you to think that he's the fake phony moderate again, that he's trying to talk common sense into the Democrats, that he's somehow the smartest guy in the room in the Democrat Party. And then Bill Maher asks him, well, why did you lose? You know, why did you lose your race then? And the response from John Tester, man, wait till you hear it. If you haven't heard it yet, I'm going to play that later on in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. We're going to have open phones for the entire 9 o'clock hour of the show today. We do have some phone lines open right now, 406-294-0970, if you got something you want to talk about. And then Henry Kriegel from Americans for Prosperity, Montana, he will join us for our weekly legislative update. This is the Montana legislature is currently on their transmittal break for just a few more days on until Friday of this week. So, yeah, hopefully some of those legislators will take advantage of the open phones time this morning as well to tell us a little bit about what you've been working on back in the Capitol or what you think needs to be worked on back in the Capitol. But, yeah, Riley Gaines tore into John Tester. She says, remarkable. Former Senator John Tester now says men don't belong in women's sports, despite consistently voting otherwise. Tester tried to pay female athletes for their endorsement leading up to his reelection. You guys remember how that one turned out. They said, are you kidding me?
It's March 10th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot.
It's me, Mario.
It's National Mario Day. For fans of Nintendo's favorite plumber, Mario was first introduced to the world in 1981 in the arcade classic Donkey Kong. Back then, he was a carpenter simply known as Jumpman. It wasn't until 1983 when a new game launched and Jumpman's name would change to Mario. The character of Mario has been voiced for decades by actor Charles Martinet, and the scrappy plumber has done everything, from play golf, drive a race car, to travel through space and time, all while saving Princess Peach. Also on this date, in 1876, the first telephone call was made as Alexander Graham Bell called his assistant Thomas Watson in a nearby room and spoke the words, Mr. Watson, come here, I need to see you. If it's your birthday today, you share it with actor Chuck Norris, born in 1940. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
There are some rules you must adhere to when it comes to having a home office. I'm Hillary Barsky with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
If you have a home office, the space has to be used exclusively for work purposes. CPA and tax attorney Alan J. Strauss says,
you're using a spare bedroom as your home office, and occasionally your mother-in-law comes to visit and sleeps in the bedroom, that disqualifies the place as your home office.
The other requirement
is that it has to be used predominantly as your home office. You don't have any other space to use.
Now the IRS offers a simplified method where you can deduct a flat rate per square foot, but it's only available for self-employed individuals. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Troy.
Big topics. Big ideas. Big Sky. Montana Talks.
All right, we got the phone lines open for you right now. You can crank that music up a little bit more there on the back side of that. Yeah, that's all right. There we go. Yeah, it's a Monday. We need a little extra pep in our step to kick, especially after that daylight savings time thing, right? You know, it's like, man, we had to bounce the clocks forward an hour, but I'm not complaining. They can do with that thing whatever they want to do with that thing. I'm just glad the sun's up right now, and it's going to be up even later tonight. Hey, great to be with you here on this Monday, though. We've got phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970 for just the opening few minutes here. And then the entire 9 o'clock hour, we'll have open phones. But, yeah, I'm driving back from Glendive on Saturday morning. Had a great time at the Lincoln Reagan dinner in Dawson County on Friday night. So great to see so many of the lawmakers there, including Speaker of the House, Brandon Lear out of Savage. He made the drive all the way back from Helena. But I'm driving back from Glendive because I had to MC the Montana chapter of the Safari Club International, the SCI Montana chapter banquet Saturday night, which was another great event as well. And so I was listening to the replay of Jesse Waters' program on Friday night. And man, I'm glad he had it. I figured he would, because on the way to Glendive, you know, I pulled over to get some coffee in Miles City, and I checked in on X, checked to see what tweets were out there. And did you guys see the video of Francis Collins singing at a Trump protest? I don't know if we talked about the fight video that the Democrats put together last week and just how silly that looked. They're literally just making the entire Democrat Party a complete joke right now. Even Van Jones was on CNN yesterday saying how the Democrats are in disarray and they're trapping themselves. Friday night when I was in Glendive, I talked about James Carville and how he said that he believes there is a plant in the Democrat Party because the Democrats are continuing to take such stupid positions. But I tell you what, if you see any of these anti-Trump protesters, even here in Montana, I don't know if they know how silly they look. But Francis Collins, boy, his music is just a perfect way to summarize how silly all of these never-Trumper protesters actually look. Here's Jesse Waters Friday night.
If canes, paddles, and ponytails didn't scare anyone, try a guitar.
Well, this is a song for all of those dreamers who are looking for answers to come our way. Scientists, doctors, students, all seekers, we share in the hopes for a much brighter day.
Democrats are going to need more than a guitar solo to sing the blues. They're going to need a whole band.
This little light of mine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Science lights the way.
Oh, this will be David Noble's favorite.
Science lights the way.
God. Were those bubble guns? Did you see that? They were bubble guns.
Oh, man, I can't wait to run into our friend David Noble later this week. I mean, did you see the science lights the way? Oh, my goodness. These people have lost their absolute minds. Was that some of the same people that were in Kalispell protesting Trump a few weeks ago as well? Because based on the signs that I saw there, it sure looked like it. It sure as heck looked like it. Jesse Waters also had this clip from Jimmy Kimmel. Even the Democrats are so embarrassing right now that even Jimmy Kimmel is embarrassed.
Democrats said choose your fighter, and they chose 80-year-olds with canes, crack tips, and banjos. Even Jimmy Kimmel's embarrassed.
Yeah, we're not going to stand back and take it anymore. We're going to fight. What is that supposed to do besides embarrass everyone involved with it? You know, maybe I'll look into getting a medically induced coma for the next 4 years as a way to sleep it out.
Oh, man, that's hysterical. But, you know, I mentioned the Montana legislature, and they're now in their halftime transmittal break here. I think they go back in Friday, if I heard right. But you look at even the Montana Democrats. Now, they'll tell you. Yeah, you know, even we have one member of the leadership that joins us on the show here. They'll tell you, oh, we're focusing on the issues that matter to Montanans. We're focusing on it. But then you look, they still are doubling down on the radical transgender agenda. They're not supporting any of this. None of the common sense stuff. They're taking two or three issues, and then they're saying, well, we're working on these two or three things. But in reality, like, you look at property tax relief. I'm confident we are going to get some sort of a homestead exemption with property tax relief. It's got the support of the governor. It's got support of Republican lawmakers. Even Democrats are saying that they support some version of a homestead exemption. It's going to happen. But here's the deal. It can happen with or without the Democrats anyway. So, again, why do you need the Montana Democrats, especially if they're just going to continue standing with Tim Walz and his style of policies, if they're going to continue to push this radical transgender agenda, if they're going to continue to oppose significant tax relief on the income tax front as well? I mean, because you watch vote after vote, they are still in line with the Kamala Harris, Tim Walz agenda. And yet here's John Tester, who was in line with the Kamala Harris, Tim Walz agenda every step of the way. And yet here he is blaming her for his loss as Montana Democrats double down on the Kamala Harris, Tim Walz policies in Helena.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
We're about to receive another lesson about governments and economic growth, specifically about how hard it is for any government, even a very large and powerful federal government, to make the economy grow faster, and how much more effective government has usually been at destroying growth. That's because when we received a report on how the U.S. economy performed in the first quarter this year, it's likely to show negative growth for the first time in 3 years. It's not set in stone, but according to the Atlanta Fed's well-regarded nowcast of GDP growth, growth will come in at -2.4% for the first 3 months of the year when it gets to announced next month. It still might not come to pass, but if it does, it won't be a complete surprise. The upheaval in tariff policy alone has been destructive to growth. Not only does it pause investment and risk-taking to try to understand where policy is going, but it also steers spending to economically unproductive uses as businesses try to anticipate and mitigate their exposure to new costs. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Securing America.
As the debate continues over President Trump's proposed tariffs against imported Canadian and Mexican goods, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem is reiterating that tariffs are about American safety and the fight against fentanyl as much as they are about economics. Noem spoke Sunday on CBS's Face the Nation.
These partnerships that we have in going after traffickers, cartels, the drug trade, and also human trafficking can be even stronger and built on in the future.
As an example, she cited a recent change made by Canadian officials.
Canada just recently is starting to allow us to access some of their criminal background histories that we need in order to know who's coming across our border and what they're bringing.
Noem saying the bottom line is
what we can do to stop the cartels from partnering with Chinese officials officials laundering money and bringing a poison into our country that is specifically designed to kill the next generation.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Ashley Smith-Thomas coming up at 8:40. We're going to talk about Trump losing his patience with Hamas and a little bit about what's happening on the foreign policy front and so much more. Then in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll have the phone lines open for you for the entire 9 o'clock hour of the show first. So we've got our friend Henry Kriegel, Deputy State Director for Americans for Prosperity, Montana. He's been covering the Capitol every single day of the session. They're now on their transmittal break. So many of them may be home or on the road listening to this show right now as we do this legislative update brought to you by Americans for Prosperity, Montana. Henry, great to have you on the show. Do you get to actually be home this morning?
I am home this morning. Yes, we have a long-awaited transmittal break, and it was a little crazy and wild up there in Helena the past couple of weeks beforehand. But, you know, that's the nature of the beast. It's a 90-working-day session, and they got to cram a lot in that short period of time. It's every 2 years. So a lot of work to be done in a very short period of time.
That's right, and even shorter when you think about that a lot of these bills, if they didn't survive Friday's transmittal deadline, they're likely dead for the remainder of the session, which means we got to wait another 2 years to get these things through. So I know there's some disappointments out there for a lot of folks.
There are some definite disappointments for a lot of folks, and there are some disappointments for Americans for Prosperity, and particularly the parents who really wanted some help to get access and to afford the kind of education that best meets the needs of their child. And we talked about this a couple of times, Aaron, HB 320, that was the Montana's Education Prosperity Program for students. And it failed on third reading, 45 to 55. It was really a sour note for our activists and our staff statewide, because we worked really hard with our coalition partners, Frontier Institute, Montana Family Foundation, Ed Choice, and others from around the U.S. who saw a great opportunity in this session because Republicans dominate both houses, and we've got a Republican administration. However, we found a very curious alliance on the third reading with some of the people on the hard right, with the Democrats who voted in lockstep against anything that would threaten the public education institution itself. It was a very odd mix here. A few moderate Republicans also continue to vote no, but we were really surprised by some on the hard right who voted no on third reading, who voted yes on second reading just a week earlier, week previously. So these people somehow got convinced that this tax credit education savings account bill, known as MAPS, that tax credits were somehow government funds, and that would allow the government to control what was happening in alternative education, including homeschool. Nothing could be further from the truth. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled not once, but twice, that tax credit funds for students is private money, not government money. Number two, we worked with the founder of the Montana Homeschool Educators Association, our friend Steve White, to ensure that homeschoolers' rights were being protected, would suffer no additional burden of any kind whatsoever under this program. That's number two. And number three, somehow some of these people on the fringe were alleging that this program, that school choice was somehow a globalist attempt to control education. I don't know where that one comes from. That is really far out there. But in any case, we had a number of legislators who voted no that we thought should have come with us, and we have launched an accountability program. Why accountability? Because sunshine is the greatest medicine. They need to be accountable to their constituents. constituents for their bad votes. So we've sent out direct mail pieces to their constituents. We got digital ad campaigns running also targeted to their districts. And we're getting attention because the facts are pretty hard-hitting. These guys voted against the ability of parents as well as third parties to get a tax credit dollar for dollar for funds being used to provide alternative education for kids in K through 12 who may be falling through the cracks or may need something different than the one-size, top-down, fits-all education system we currently have in place. This is not an attack on teachers, public school teachers whatsoever. This is just an opportunity that we presented to help kids develop the skills and talents they needed to succeed moving forward.
Yeah, it's like I get it that, like, look, there's some days there were dozens and dozens of bills being debated and voted on, especially as the deadline got closer. But it's like if just reach out to the people that you that we know that we can trust when it comes to the school choice debate. So if there's people running a fear campaign saying, oh, they're going to control the homeschool, well, reach out to the pertinent, trusted, you know, school choice organizations that exist in Montana and ask them what they think. And that's the easiest way to get over any of these hurdles, especially if they're right outside your chamber doors. Now, school us up a little bit here, Henry. I know that a bill is virtually dead if it didn't, you know, non-revenue bill, if it didn't survive the transmittal deadline. Is there one last shot, though, in the second half of the session where you still can revive a bill that maybe didn't clear the hurdle of the transmittal deadline? I know it's really tough.
Yeah, there is a shot. There is a shot, and we'll see what the House Speaker comes up with. Speaker Blair indicated that there is a placeholder bill there that he might try to revive this this legislation in a different form. We don't know. We don't want anything that's less than transformational. We shouldn't settle for anything less than transformational. Not when we got Republican majorities in both chambers and a Republican administration. So if it's some nominal thing, we're probably going to stand down. But if it's something significant, we will marshal our resources like we did for HB 320, our grassroots army, our marketing arm to make this thing happen. So it's going to be up to what they come up with. We're not pressing for it now. We have other priorities. But what we're doing right now is holding these following legislators accountable. I'd like to name the names if you don't mind.
Sure, go for it. Yeah, our listeners always say that. They say, hey, say the actual names, that, especially I know you've got the list in front of you.
I got the list right here. Ed Byrne, a freshman from Big Fork. Sherry Esmond from Billings, she just votes a no against all tax credits. I can appreciate that, but she should have come our way on this one because we're going up against a $2.4 billion K-12 public education system. We're only talking pittance in terms of the tax credits in comparison. George Nikolakakis out of Great Falls. Kathy Love out of Hamilton. She was very vocal on social media, claiming this was a government control thing. Ron Marshall, supporting Kathy Love in a neighboring district, who resigned recently, but still being targeted at this point. Melissa Nikolakakis, George's wife, will currently has a background in public education. Gary Parry from Colstrip claimed that no one in his district supported it. I get that, Gary, but Gary, your vote just doesn't count for Colstrip. It counts for the entirety of the state of Montana. And I can tell you that parents in Bozeman, Billings, Great Falls, Missoula, and Kalispell, they wanted this bill. Ken Walsh with Twin Bridges couldn't really get more than a few words with him. He didn't want to talk about it. He voted no on third reading. John Fitzpatrick, similar, from Anaconda, wouldn't really talk. Just said he was voting no. And Curtis Cochran from St. Regis, a hardcore conservative, apparently was swayed by the ridiculous arguments that I mentioned earlier. So those are the legislators who are being called out for their bad votes, because we lost really by, it's 45-55. We needed six of these people to vote yes. And surprisingly, these hardcore conservatives lined up with the Democrats. They lined up with the Democrats in voting no against greater school choice and educational freedom for our kids. Yes, it was a disappointment, but you know what, Aaron? Sometimes these great bills and great ideas, they take more than one session to get done.
That's right.
We're not backing down one iota. We're staying with it.
Well, it was fun to see Speaker of the House Brandon Lehr in Glendive Friday night. I was there for the Lincoln Reagan dinner, and he and several other lawmakers made the long drive back. He's doing a great job, so if there's anybody who can revive it, it would be him. A couple minutes to go here, Henry. Obviously, it's the transmittal break. You at least get to be home, but you're not letting up. You're not taking your foot off the gas. You're using this transmittal break to organize and get out the grassroots base. Lawmakers, some are taking a break. Some are maybe, doing meetings with constituents around the state. What's your advice for our listeners and how they can best take advantage of this transmittal break? Because right now, they're likely back home in your district, or they can read the emails and take the phone calls that you send their way.
That's a great question and a great idea. This is the perfect time to connect with your legislators. Yes, everyone deserves a break. Everyone's been working really hard. It's a very stressful environment. However, they represent you, and this is your time to connect with them. So the timing of our accountability program is perfect, and I think they should be asked. Particularly these legislators, and all legislators ought to be asked, why did you not support HB 320 to give those kids who may be falling through the cracks an opportunity to get the education they need? They got to understand that two-thirds of eighth graders are not proficient in science and can't read at their grade level. 70% of juniors can't do math at their grade level. Our system is not working. And this is not an attack on teachers. We want competition in the education space. And we want innovation in the public schools as well. But this is an opportunity to support parents in their quest to provide the best education possible for their kids' needs.
All right. Well, Henry Kriegel.
Want to see kids falling through the cracks.
Henry Kriegel, great to get the weekly update, especially during this transmittal break. Thanks for your time, as always. Henry Kriegel, Deputy State Director for Americans for Prosperity Montana. Reach out. They've got offices all across the state. You can get engaged this week, right now.
Broadcasting live across the big sky. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we've got open phones coming up for the entire 9 o'clock hour of the show. If you got something you want to talk about, you want to jump in on the conversation, and of course, I'm going to have the audio flip flop flat top John Tesser still flip flopping, even though he's no longer in office. We're going to get to that audio as he was on HBO Bill Maher program over the weekend. Yeah. Yeah, John, has anybody seen Tester back in Big Sandy, by the way, since his big election loss last November? Has anybody seen him back there? Because, during the election, he's like, oh, I'll just be back in Big Sandy. I'm just a farmer. And everybody's like, yeah, sure, whatever, man. They've seen through his Adam Schiff over the years. The guy's such a phony. But he sure made it to Los Angeles to go rub elbows with all of his Hollywood buddies, didn't he? And he's still flip-flopping. I'm going to explain why he is flip-flopping and how he really isn't backing women's sports. He's just trying to push the issue off to the side and provide cover fire for the radical transgender agenda. Okay, hey, let's jump right into it here. We've got a great guest on the phone lines with us here on Montana Talks. Once again, Ashley Smith Thomas is a political strategist, the founder and CEO of Freedoms Fund USA. President Trump has lost his patience with Hamas. Well, not only Hamas, but also he's lost his patience, as have the rest of us, with these university college campuses that are getting hundreds of millions of our dollars and then allowing these pro-Hamas blockades to take place. Ashley, great to have you back on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so what's your read? Give us the roll-up, whether it's Trump losing patience with Hamas or Trump losing patience with these left-wing college campuses.
Well, President Trump is definitely in his first term and even now here in his second term is making it very known in that he supports Israel and the Jewish people, and he will not tolerate anti-Semitism. And what is interesting is that on Wednesday, Secretary of State Marco Rubio shared with Sean Hannity on his show there on Fox News Channel that President Trump has lost his patience with Hamas and had advised the administration to turn up the pressure on the Palestinian militant group to release the remaining hostages. Reports indicate that Hamas still holds 24 living hostages, the bodies of at least 35 others, according to Israeli officials, including one American citizen, Eden Alexander, a young man 21 years old from New Jersey, who is understood to be among the living hostages still in captivity. So last week on Wednesday, President Trump had met with 8 hostages that were held by Hamas there at the White House. Secretary Rubio, as well as Middle East envoy Steven Witkoff, was present. And both have shared with the press that it was an emotional experience for President Trump meeting with the hostages to hear their stories of what they witnessed, of what they went through. And that is why we saw him take the bull by the horns, so to speak, and tweet out his threat to Hamas that if they do not release the hostages now, that there will be hell to pay. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens here in the coming days. Reports indicate that Steven Witkoff, as well as one of the top U.S. negotiators, has been in direct communication with Hamas, with a Hamas representative, to discuss and make the message known that the U.S. wants the hostages released, particularly those who are American citizens. So hopefully by having those conversations, we may see some improvement this week.
And then on the domestic front, I love the fact that President Trump is basically going to withhold the $400 million, what was it, for Columbia, some of these left-wing college campuses that are allowing these pro-Hamas blockades. I'm not going to call them protests because, look, a peaceful protest, that's one thing. These are blockades, and they're also threatening and intimidating the Jewish students on these campuses as well. I mean, a lot of us back here in Montana are saying, why does a college campus like that get $400 million in the first place, let alone in the midst of what they're allowing on their campuses right now? But I also love the fact that they're finding out that a lot of these people who are organizing basically these mobs to undermine, basically they're organizing these insurgencies in America. They're not even American citizens. They might be here on a visa, or they might be here illegally. And so the Trump administration is saying, all right, you're going to organize these, you know, these insurgencies on our college campuses and threaten our Jews. Your visa's revoked. You're out of here.
Absolutely. And I think that is fantastic, honestly. Because if you cannot respect our country, if you cannot respect those who have different views, then why are you here in America? Why are you here getting an education here in our best institutions? So I think it is great that they are revoking their visas if they participate in this behavior. Some will argue saying that, well, it's their First Amendment right. But it's also horrible that we have destruction and pure hate. Because the last I checked, anti-Semitism falls into the hate crime category. And it was really telling when you look at what happened last year when these presidents of these Ivy League schools testified before Congress, and then they couldn't really articulate what a hate crime was. They couldn't even articulate what hate speech because they were more intimidated and afraid of the protesters and the political pressure and backlash than doing what was right and morally right, and particularly in ensuring that these students, these Jewish students, would feel safe on their campus. And so it was telling. Mark Levin had a great program yesterday there on Fox News. He shared that, you know, why are these Ivy League institutions that have endowments that are $100 million, even in some universities, $1 billion endowments, why are they still receiving federal taxpayer dollars? And what is that money even going toward? What is it even for? And so I think this is a good thing. What President Trump and his administration is doing is withholding the federal funds from these colleges, that if you're going to participate in this and you're going to help continue anti-Semitism, then enough is enough. You do not need to receive federal dollars, which is great for taxpayers.
Why do you think these protests are ramping up now and once again? What do you think the timing is on this?
If you look at a lot of these protests and the organizations that are affiliated with these protests, they're more of your cultural Marxist and communist-tied groups because they're trying to bring forth a revolution. And so I think the reason why we're seeing this ramp up is to apply pressure to President Trump. I think in some cases, these students who have no idea really what is going on there in Gaza, especially when you have these LGBT groups saying that LGBTQ for Palestine, good luck. Because if you were to go over there, you would not be treated. You got great freedoms here in America. and it would not go well with you over in the Middle East. So, unfortunately, a lot of these protesters, I don't even think they even really know what they're protesting for, but some of these groups do, and that is to bring forth a revolution to change America socially and culturally, and to implement their ideology. And so I think with it ramping up, again, I go back to, I think it's to apply pressure to the Trump administration, and it's also because of what is going on there in Israel. Right now, over the weekend, it was reported that Israel is blocking aid going into Gaza. If they continue to block the last remaining entry point, it is said that there's only 2 weeks left of aid inside Gaza. Israel is doing that to apply pressure to get Hamas to come to the table and stop playing games pertaining to the release of the hostages. So it's just, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens as we move forward in terms of how the U.S. and Israel respond to Hamas and whether we're going to get these hostages out or not.
Yeah, I saw, speaking of that, you know, the Gays for Gaza group, it's like, you know, we have a man in the Montana legislature, a Democrat, a radical transgender legislator out of Missoula, Montana, and he sent out a tweet on Saturday, "Happy International Women's Day," as if it applies to him, as if it's his day and not the day for actual women. And it's like, yeah, and he's also been a big backer of the pro-Hamas, you know, agenda as well. And it's like, you know, the rooftop party that they would throw for Gays for Gaza is not the rooftop party you think they would be throwing for you if you actually showed up over there. And it's just, it's sad, but these people push this propaganda because you hit the nail on the head. It's cultural Marxists that want to transform this country into something else. Ashley Smith-Thomas, great to have you on the show as always. Anything else? We've got about a minute or so to go before the break.
You know, I think it would be really great real quick is if Elon and Doge to look into Congress and these congressional leaders that have become Hamas talking heads. I think that would be very interesting to see what would come forth, if anything, as to why we have some congressional leaders that have become Hamas sympathizers and pushing them propaganda.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if some of them, you know, are, you know, getting money under the table or money steered to their campaigns or PACs in particular that are supporting them and backing up their pro-Hamas, anti-American agenda back in Congress. That would be fascinating to see. Great point. Ashley Smith-Thomas, appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us. We've got phone lines open for you starting now and on through our statewide 9 o'clock hour of the show, 406-294-0970. Or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. What do we got to get to next? You know what we should do? I want to play just a quick snippet from a CBS News report. Coming up after this, I want to play this CBS News clip. They're talking about how heavily fortified our southern border is right now. The troops, the equipment, the border patrol, and more. And it's really quiet down there. All is quiet on the southern border front. Did they pass a bill in Congress? Nope. As President Trump pointed out last week, we just needed a new president. That report coming up after this.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
This party has doubled down on their radicalism. They are now the party of endless war. We saw that on display at the joint session speech on Tuesday night. They are now the party that advocates and champions men and women's sports. They're the party now that puts the rights of illegal immigrants, and we know we have known terrorists and rapists and murderers and others and cartel members and gang members in our country, and they're fighting for the rights of illegal immigrants versus the safety of the American people. And then you find out hundreds of billions of dollars are being spent abroad on this crap, and they're calling that a constitutional crisis.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Warning, inflation is back on the rise. The national debt is spiraling out of control. The stock market has been at an all-time high, and wars continue to rage across the globe. Experts are predicting a massive economic crash for 2025, and you should be ready. Will you sit on the sidelines and wait, or will you take action today to help protect your hard-earned retirement savings? Right now, you can get a free gold and silver kit from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco, where you'll learn why tens of thousands of hardworking Americans and even the world's central banks are turning to precious metals to help protect and diversify their money.
Get your free gold and silver kit from Goldco by visiting HannityGold.com or calling 855-815-GOLD. You can even receive up to a 10% instant match on bonus silver for qualified accounts. Don't let your financial future slip through your fingers. Learn why so many Americans are diversifying with gold and silver today. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD.
How 529 plans can help you to save for college. I'm Jenny Cosola with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
Hey, I'm Trey Gowdy, host of the Trey Gowdy Podcast. I hope you will join me every Tuesday and Thursday as we navigate life together and hopefully find ourselves a little bit better on the other side.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcast.com.
Saving for college?
Each state has a 529 plan, at least one.
CPA Stephen Zellin of Zellin & Associates says these are state plans.
Remember, it's deductible on the state tax return. It's not deductible on the federal tax return.
Zellin says the rules and the amount you're allowed to put away are different for each state.
If you go to savingforcollege.com, there's a clickable map that has a list of all of the 529 plans.
And many do offer a tax deduction. Jenny Cosella, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, CBS News reporting from the heavily fortified U.S. border. Okay, come on, it's not that fortified, but that's all right. That's good I.O. For the illegal aliens and the terror watch list individuals that took advantage of the last 4 years to break into this country with a wide open southern border. So you tell them it's as fortified as you want to tell them. But yeah, we do have military troops on the border, border patrol on the border. Listen to this CBS News report that was shared by President Trump's Rapid Response 47X account.
Just feet away from Mexico, our cameras captured a heavily fortified U.S. border.
This has been known for so many years for the high level of smuggling activity.
That has been true historically, but not anymore.
The activity is very slow. There's multiple factors attached to why we have seen a significant drop in apprehensions recently. One of them, of course, is consequences.
And you believe that is due to new policies from Washington, D.C.
All right, there you go. That's just a part of that CBS News report. Go to the Rapid Response 47 account. You can see more. But you know, when I hear that news clip about how quiet things are on our southern border now, thanks to President Donald J. Trump and Border Czar Tom Homan and, of course, the great men and women in our military and in our Border Patrol and these other government agencies, is I could just imagine Donald J. Trump walking along that border now with as quiet as it is, thanks to his policies. And all you would hear is, you know, you could just whistle. You could just do that old classic Western whistle with Donald J. Trump. Yeah, because it's like Trump told us last week during his address to Congress. We had the fake news media constantly going to print and going on TV with the Democrat Party talking points. Oh, we need a bill to secure our border. And then what were they trying to do? Give even more of your money to the very NGOs that were responsible for trafficking these people across our southern border. John Tester used the same phony talking point in his failed Senate race last year because he supported the open borders invasion policies of Mayorkas and Biden, but he knew that you did not. So he had to come back and play the fake phony, I'm just a moderate, look at my Carhartt jacket game. And the liberal media here in Montana went right along with it. Oh, yeah, well, we need a bill to get the border secure. No, we already have a law against this invasion that's taking place on our border. And we don't need the southern border wasn't opened up because of a congressional bill. So it doesn't take a bill to shut it back down again. It takes a new president and it takes a United States Senate that's about America first. And that's what we've finally got by and large now, thanks to the Republican Senate majority and a new Republican U.S. Senator, Tim Sheehy from Montana, instead of this flip-flop flat top who allowed the invasion to occur in the first place. By the way, you know, the Keystone XL pipeline, you know, I was out in Glendive on Friday night and got to see some great county commissioners from Dawson County and some folks from Weibo, Montana. And, you know, one of the big controversial topics out in eastern Montana right now is they want to take all this big, beautiful open space, the big, beautiful Big Sky, and they want to throw these ugly wind farms everywhere. Weibo, north of Terry and Fallon, and it's like all over the place. And apparently where they're trying to put these big, ugly wind farms is right where the Keystone XL pipeline would have gone in some of these areas. And it's like, you know, we could have had a pipeline either buried or even if it was above ground, you'd still have that big, beautiful sky and mostly open space. But now, what a slap in the face. What a slap in the face to those eastern Montana counties. John Tester would lie, and the Montana Democrats would lie repeatedly, claiming that he supported the Keystone Pipeline when he voted against it when it mattered the most. And now they're missing out on millions and millions of dollars. But now they're saying, well, we'll let you have some money, but you got to have this big, ugly wind farm if you want the money. What a freaking slap in the face to everyone. No wonder John Tester got thrown out on his you-know-what.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
We're about to receive another lesson about governments and economic growth, specifically about how hard it is for any government, even a very large and powerful federal government, to make the economy grow faster, and how much more effective government has usually been at destroying growth. That's because when we received a report on how the U.S. economy performed in the first quarter this year, it's likely to show negative growth for the first time in 3 years. It's not set in stone, but according to the Atlanta Fed's well-regarded nowcast of GDP growth, growth will come in at -2.4% for the first 3 months of the year when it gets announced next month. It still might not come to pass, but if it does, it won't be a complete surprise. The upheaval in tariff policy alone has been destructive to growth. Not only does it pause investment and risk-taking to try to understand where policy is going, but it also steers spending to economically unproductive uses as businesses try to anticipate and mitigate their exposure to new costs. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.